So if I were to ask you how the spiritual life works, could you tell me? I mean, what actually causes us to grow spiritually? Well, today we'll study four key concepts that will help you understand this thing that we call the spiritual life. You don't want to miss it. Stay with me.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international teaching and discipleship ministry, motivating Christians to live like Christians. In this program, Chip will pick up in his study of the Holy Spirit with the remainder of his message, Are You in Step with the Holy Spirit? Last time he walked through the fruits of the Spirit and broke down how they affect our relationships with God and others. Well, there's a lot to get to, so here's Chip as he dives into the final area where Christ-like behavior can have an impact.
The third triad is in our relationship with ourselves: faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Faithfulness is a character quality of trustworthiness, dependability, one who keeps his promises, follows through on the tasks we say we'll do. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many a man proclaims his own faithfulness, but a faithful man who can find? People, by and large, all of us included, can be flaky, right? Faithfulness is, you say you're going to be there, you're there. You say you're going to take care of it, you do it. You say it, the check's in the mail, the check's in the mail. Tell you what, it's a powerful, powerful quality. It's very difficult for all of us. Supernaturally, God does that. Gentleness is power under control. It's not weakness. This is the picture. It was used in the ancient Greek language of a huge, powerful stallion. And when the stallion was broke and they would put the bit in its mouth, and then you could guide this huge, powerful horse, the Greek word for this powerful horse under control was meek. That's the translation we get. See, it's not that Christians are weak. There's power under control. You don't have to show off. You don't have to have your way. You don't have to blow people out. You don't have to embarrass them, even though you may have the position and the power to do that at times. There's a gentleness. And finally, self-control is the mastery of your tongue, your thoughts, your passions, and your appetites through delayed gratification. It's supernatural. The Spirit of God, part of what the Spirit does is he gives us self-control, self-control in our eating, self-control in our speech, self-control. And I don't know about you. Now, it took years for me. I don't particularly like, in my earlier life, getting up in the morning and meeting with God and spending time and reading my Bible and praying specifically and jotting a few things down in a journal. I don't particularly like, you know, in some seasons of my life, realizing that, you know, if I eat that, not good things happen, so I need to eat more of this good stuff, or working out two or three times a week. I mean, if we did a survey of all the Christians in America, would we see people who are characterized by self-control in our eating, in our speech, in our activities, in our disciplines? Would we see people whose parents are teaching their kids self-control? It's the fruit of the Spirit. When there's not self-control in your life, that means the flesh is winning, not the Spirit. That means you're not keeping in step with the Spirit. When you're keeping in step with the Spirit, all Jesus wants you to know is you will have the characteristics of Jesus. And the characteristics or fruit, spiritual fruit of Jesus, isn't activities. It's not just external ministry. The characteristics of Jesus is you become a more loving, joyful, peaceful, gentle, patient, kind, good person who's faithful and under self-control. Does that make sense? And by the way, that's the agenda. That's different than going to church three times a week. That's different than knowing 1,000 Bible verses. I got news. I've met people that know 10,000 Bible verses, and they're the most unloving people I've ever met. I don't think they're very spiritual. And guess what? Neither does God. We don't measure our spiritual progress by spiritual activity. We don't measure it by knowledge. We don't measure it by gifts. All those things are parts and pieces of what the Spirit of God wants to use. But according to Jesus, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and your neighbor like yourself. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor. When I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, You know, spiritual maturity, spiritual fruit, are you ready? It's going to get like really simple. Did you love these people and did you love me? Right? I mean, is that biblical or not? Let me ask you, is that what you're measuring? Is that what you're measuring with your kids? Is that what you're measuring with your discipleship groups? Is that the focus of your church life? Because that's God's. That's the Holy Spirit's agenda, to make you like his son. Well, let's look at how is spiritual fruit developed. And let me just walk through. It begins with the conviction of the Spirit. John 16, he said, when the Spirit, when he comes, will convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. So he convicts you of bitterness. He convicts me of an attitude here. He convicts someone of self-control over there. He convicts us of our sin because those close the vents. Sin closes the vents of the influence of the Holy Spirit in areas of our life. And the very first thing he does is he convicts us of our need of a Savior. And then there's a spiritual birth. And who does that? By the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Spirit. So the new birth comes from the Spirit. And then you begin to what? You begin to be nurtured as a little baby. 1 Peter 2 says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of God's word. Thereby it you will grow. And through the body. 1 Thessalonians there, Paul describes himself what? He says, I loved you Thessalonians like a father, exhorting, encouraging, and imploring. And I nurtured you like a mother does children. And so in order for this to happen, the Spirit works and he convicts us. We respond to that. We're born again. Then we begin to what? We need the pure milk of God's word. And as we get into God's word, we begin to grow. And then we need the body. We need people who love God and will love us. You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit doesn't hug you. He's inside of someone that'll hug you. The Holy Spirit doesn't buy lunch for you. The Holy Spirit doesn't listen for 2 hours when you have a problem. But he does it inside the body of another believer. And so you got to hang with people and talk with them and do life with them. And then you abide in Christ, John 15. So in your journey personally, you begin to develop time in God's word. And not just, you know, 2 chapters a day keeps the devil away. It's relational. Well, I mean, haven't we all fallen into that? You know, okay, man, my little program says, okay, chapters 8 and 9. Man, I got to really get going. I'm glad I took that speed reading course. 1, 2, chapters 8 and 9, catch you later, Lord. I mean, in some measure, don't we do that a lot? Versus, Lord, I'm running a little behind this morning, and I might have to skip part of my breakfast, but I'd really like to hear from you. And I'm going to read the first couple paragraphs, and will you speak to me? And then I'm going to sit here quietly, and I want to listen. And then I think before I go on, there's some people that I'm responsible for, and I want to ask very specifically for them today. And then, you know, about that meeting at 9 o'clock, and, you know, I don't know if the house is going to close at 1 at that meeting, and you told me I needed to call this guy and apologize to him, and I am not looking forward to that. So will you help me with those things? Don't you think that's what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do? And you get into his word, and you talk to him, and you cultivate that. And what I can tell you, as you do and as you cultivate it, it will become a joy instead of duty. I mean, I literally had to have someone drag me out of bed. Too long of a story to tell you, but I mean, literally drag me. And I just couldn't get up and meet with God, but I wanted to. And then after 3 or 4 years, it was, you know, it was kind of drudgery, but, you know, I did it, and I was learning and growing. And then, you know what? It's like everything else. Once there's a rhythm, now, I just, best part of every day, I wonder what God's going to say to me this morning. It's a priority. And you can actually make it fun. For me, I just make the best coffee I can, and I have a little spot, and, you know, I've got a little game plan, and, you know, just depending on where I think God's speaking to me, sometimes I journal and get my mind clear, and other times I'm reading. Sometimes, like I've been in Jeremiah 1, and I've read Jeremiah chapter 1 along with anything else I've been reading, because God's speaking to me. I've read it like every day for a month, because there's just like a few of these verses, and I'm not even sure what all they mean. It's developmental. It's in your time with him, and it's through relationships. And then you walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5, 16 through 18 there. It says, you know, you know, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. And he talks about how, you know, you walk in the Spirit, you read some books that are hard, you study some passages, and they don't just fly off the page all the time. And, you know, you become a student of God's Word. And then you become a spiritual adult. And when you're a spiritual adult, those fruit that we talked about in Galatians 5, 22 through 26 begins to characterize your life. And I love the test of maturity at the end there in Ephesians. After he says, you know, the apostles and prophets and how we're all to be spiritually mature, then he says, as a result, what he says is the real test of spiritual maturity, of fruit of Christ-likenesses, is doctrinal purity and relational connection from the heart. As a result, therefore, we're no longer children tossed here and there by every wave of doctrine, by craftiness and deceitful speaking. But speaking the truth in love, we grow up into all aspects into the head, who's the head, even Christ, by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. He says, when you're spiritually mature, the evidence is you're not a child tossed around by this fad or that fad or this teacher. You heard that. You know the truth. And you speak the truth in love. You have relationships where you confront issues, but you do it with a kind heart. You deal with things. You don't bury them. You don't blame people. That's the kind of Christian God wants us to make. And that's the goal of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's trying to produce. And that's what he wants to produce in you. And that's what he wants to produce in me. I just jotted down, how does the spiritual life work? And what I really wanted to do is just give you an overview. It says four key concepts. And right above that, why don't you write Howard Hendricks summary? Because when you steal people's material word for word, you should probably be very specific about how the Spirit works. And I have to tell you, this has been my passion. I didn't grow up as a Christian, so I never opened the Bible. And so I started reading a lot of books. And, you know, there was this group that kind of said this and this group that said that. And I've read all kind of books on the spiritual life and the surrendered life and the second life and, you know, old books and new books. And at times, okay, I think the whole spiritual life, the way you stay in the Spirit is you sort of put your tongue like this. And then you sort of, and then I'd sort of, oh gosh, I felt so filled for about 20 minutes and something happened, you know? And so, you know, I've just really been on this journey to know I really want the Spirit of God to fill me and transform me. And I remember sitting down with Prof. Hendricks, and he said, you know, the spiritual life has four component parts. And he went through these. And I just have to tell you that every good book and anything that I've ever read anywhere actually just fits into this very simple understanding of how the Spirit of God takes the Word of God in the community of God's people as you respond in faith and obedience and actually will produce the life of Jesus that is loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, gentle, faithful, and filled with self-control. And so let me just walk through it. It's very, very, been very helpful to me. Spirituality is the life of Christ. Ephesians 3, 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul prays, I want you to be strengthened in your inner being so that the riches of Christ, that his life could dwell in your hearts. And notice your part, by faith. For him, remember Philippians 1, 21, when Paul thought maybe he was going to die, wasn't sure. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. See, spirituality is an activity. It's not knowledge. It's not going to church. It's not... It's the life of Christ. It's his life.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, and we'll get back to his message in just a minute. First, though, we hope as you study God's Word with us every broadcast, you're deepening your faith. But let me tell you, there's another way we can help you grow spiritually. Stick around after this message as Chip shares more about our daily discipleship resource and how to sign up. But for now, let's get back to today's program.
And I'll never forget the day someone told me the Christian life is not hard. And I remember thinking, well, he's not living the same Christian life I am. And then he added, it's impossible. And all of a sudden I got it. It's not hard. The only one that can live the Christian life is Jesus, and he lives in you. So your responsibility is to learn how to abide and stay in step with the Spirit so that the life of Christ is produced in and through you. It's not that there's not anything you do, but you can't try hard enough to be loving and kind and good. So spirituality is the life of Christ. Concept number two, spirituality is the life of Christ reproduced in the believer. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man, if any woman is in Christ, you're a new creation, process. The old things pass away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Or the way the Apostle Paul would put it is this. Okay, it's the life of Christ reproduced in the life of the believer. Now think of all the knowledge the Apostle Paul had. Think of all the, I mean, he was at the top of the game as a Pharisee. Probably had nearly all the Old Testament memorized. He was under the best teacher of the day. And after all of his great learning and then walking with Jesus, he describes his life. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And in this life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's his theology. I died with Christ. I'm connected to him. I was resurrected with him. And the life that I now live, I live by faith, trusting his word in the community of God's people, keeping in step with the Spirit. And did you notice who loved me? His view of his heavenly Father was kind and good. When he said, Paul, you know, I want you to go there. Paul, I want you to go there. Paul, you're going to have to suffer for me. It was like, comes from the hand of a good God. There was a joy. I mean, he and Silas are in that jail. What are they doing? They're singing. So that's the Spirit. The world desperately needs to see Christians whose lives just, they don't make sense unless there's something supernatural happening inside of them. And the supernatural happening inside of us is the Spirit of God when he's influencing and controlling. And so spirituality is the life of Christ. Spirituality is the life of Christ reproduced in the believer. And then spirituality is the life of Christ reproduced in the life of the believer by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul would say in Galatians 5, verse 16, so I say, walk or live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Just keep in step with the Spirit. In verse 25, he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. What would happen if you saw your life rather than a list of duties to perform, an adventure that you're on? You know, instead of, okay, I'm a Christian, I know I got to read my Bible, now I got to pray and my mind wanders and that's a dumb, now I got to give at least 10%, you know, just even stay in the game and I got to get on one of those short-term things, they're always harping on me, go on the show, I got to be involved in ministry, got to be involved, oh, I got to be in a small group, well, I got to go to that class. What else do I got to do? I don't know. I read Christian books. I got to read some Christian books, you know, and I'm not supposed to do so much of that. I'm supposed to do that. I'm spending way too much time on the computer. Oh, I'm way too much time on the TV. I think I'm supposed to. Does this sound remotely similar to your life? That's insane. That's insane. And can I tell you, stupid and ungodly as well? And it's not like we're burning up the track out there like people going, whoa, if that's the Christian life, I'd like to get some of that. I mean, I'm not very busy. I don't have anything to do. I'd like to get like 10 other activities to feel guilty about. That'd be pretty cool. You know, that's like completely different than I've been resurrected with the living God and I have a purpose and he created all that there is and he has a purpose for me and he wants to talk to me today. That's a lot different than, I'm going to read my Bible. And I'm not sure what he wants me to do, but guess what? If I don't read my Bible today, please lean back so this doesn't hurt some of you. He doesn't love me any less, and he doesn't love me any more. I missed out probably on something he wanted to say. But he's my Father. He's my Abba. He loves me. And if I would learn to practice the presence of God, and of course I'm going to have time to pray, and I have to have some disciplines and accountability, and people help me. But accountability isn't people haranguing me to become something I don't really want to become, who I wish they'd get off my back, but I feel guilty if I don't ask them to harangue me. Accountability is asking people who love me and that I love, will you help me keep my commitments to God? Because I really want to. But I'm just in this body of flesh that's lazy and deceived, and I'm in denial. And I just need some brothers or some couples to do life with in a way to help me, because I'm on this adventure. And he's going to speak to me, and it's exciting, and it's an adventure that's just for me. And he's going to have me do something, and there's a place where I fit where no one else quite fits. And he'll show me how much to read, and he'll show me, you know, whether to do this or not do that. I don't have to listen to everybody in all the world who tells me all the things I need to do as a Christian. I need to keep in step with the Spirit in this adventure. And what I really need to test is, am I becoming more loving? Do I have greater joy? Is there a sense of greater peace? Do I have a higher and more holy view of God? Am I experiencing his love? Am I finding myself reaching out and loving people that I think, I would never love them? This must be the Holy Spirit, you know? And all this, you know what, something, when people rub up next to people on an adventure with God who's leading and speaking, and then guess what? Every day is like, are you ready for this? I don't know what to do, Lord. And he'll whisper, I do. I do. Would you like to know? And he'll show you. The sense of expectation. What if every single day you realize he's going to do something supernatural out of the box? Wonder where it is. A lot of us go through a Christian life like, I've been doing this, I read my Bible, said my prayers, and went to my group. Read my Bible, said my prayers, went to my group. What is that? Oh, God, I'm sorry, I don't have time for you. Read my Bible, say my... We just go through this deal like, can you imagine what it would be like to walk on a dusty road with Jesus? And you get up every day. James, where are we going? I don't know. The Lord tell you? No, he didn't tell me either. So what are we going to do? He gets up and walk. I think we're going to follow him. Might be healing little girl day. Might be mountaintop Moses and the boys are going to show up. I don't know, but just let's follow him. That's for us. Jesus said, you have more capability and more access to follow him than they did on a dusty road. The Christian life, spirituality, is the life of Christ reproduced in the believer by the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, in obedience to the Word of God. Your spiritual diet will determine your spiritual growth. Jesus said in John 8:31 to those Jews who had believed on him, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free. Free from legalism, free from other people's expectations, free from sin, free from bad habits, free from your lack of self of control, free from a warped view of God. And Jesus' brother would remind us that when you understand spirituality is the life of Christ, and it's the life of Christ reproduced in the believer, and it's the life of Christ reproduced in the believer by the power of the Holy Spirit in response by faith to the Word of God, then Jesus' brother James would say, when you hear that from the truth of God's Word and you walk away nodding and saying that's true, without doing it. He says you become an ineffectual hearer, but the progress of the faith is only in doers of God's word. What does God say to you? What would be the next baby step for you to be in step with the Spirit? This isn't one of those messages where, oh, my lands, my whole life needs to change. Well, it may. But it's Paul said, keep in step. That means one step. And if you respond to the light that God gives you, guess what? When you get up tomorrow, if you say, Lord, what's step two? He'll tell you. What's just the next step?
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, and the message you just heard, Are You in Step with the Holy Spirit?, is from our series, The Holy Spirit. Chip will join us in studio to share some insights from today's talk in just a minute. In this 8-part series, Chip takes the mystery out of this critical third part of the Trinity. Join us in key passages across Scripture that illustrate the Holy Spirit's power, presence, purpose, and relevance to our lives today. Learn why He is more than a spiritual force and how a meaningful relationship with the Holy Spirit can lead to deeper intimacy with God the Father. Let me encourage you to stick around for each message. But if you do miss any part, catch up through the Chip Ingram app. Well, Chip's joined me in studio now, and Chip, for those who join us every day, they know that Romans 12 is one of your favorite passages. It's rich with foundational truth vital to every believer. Take a minute, if you would, and talk about a special study you've developed to help our listeners grasp the power of this chapter, too.
Well, for the last several years, you know, Dave, that we've produced a resource called Daily Discipleship with Chip. Mm-hmm. It's a free video tool where our listeners and I study the Bible together for 20 minutes. I do 10 minutes by way of video in a one-on-one mentoring environment, and then I ask them to take another 10 minutes on their own to study. And I've done a number of these, and I took just classic core passages that I know are just instrumental in every believer really growing in Christ. Well, as we were preparing these, I couldn't not do one on Romans chapter 12 because it talks about what it looks like to be truly spiritual, to be an authentic follower of Jesus Christ. So what I want to invite our listeners to is to join me. It's a little bit longer. It's actually 17 days. But as you do this study, true spirituality, how to become a Romans 12 Christian, I believe it'll help you like never before be the man or the woman that God really wants you to be.
Great encouragement, Chip. To sign up for this free video resource, go to livingontheedge.org. We want to see you grow in your faith and be a Christian who really lives like a Christian. And this daily discipleship series from Romans chapter 12 will help you get on the right path. For complete details, visit livingontheedge.org. App listeners, tap discipleship. Well, with that, here again is Chip to share a few final words.
As we wrap up today's program, every now and then we have these times that the fact that we're not sitting across from one another right after I get done teaching is just downright frustrating. This is one of those where, I want to grab a good cup of coffee, sit across from you, look you in the eye, and say, okay, are you ready? What baby step did God speak to you about taking? I mean, what is that nudge that you got that you realize He whispered and He said, okay, here's the baby step I want you to take. I want you to apologize to so-and-so. Or here's the baby step. I want you, you know, next week, beginning tomorrow, all week, I want you to get into my word. Or, you know what? You've been sort of motivated down deep in your heart to begin to give financially to your local church, and you're afraid and you've thought about it'll mean this or it'll mean that, and you know you kind of need to do it, and this next weekend is going to be a baby step. I would just love to sit down with you and look you in the eye and say, what's the baby step? Because then what I would say is, do it. Because when you take that step of obedience, you're going to experience God's grace. And yes, it's fearful, and yes, you're kind of afraid, and there may be consequences, but I will tell you this. As you learn to get in step with the Spirit, you will experience His power. You will experience His grace, and you will not have regrets. It might be hard, but you will begin to see God work in you and through you like never before. Think of it. The Creator of the universe, His personal Spirit, dwells inside of you. And anything you need in this journey and process, you already got. He just wants you to trust Him so He can give it to you. Are you ready? Take the baby step today.
Great challenge, Chip. Thanks. As we close, I want to thank each of you who makes this program possible through your generous giving. 100% of your gifts go directly to the ministry to help Christians live like Christians. Now, if you found this teaching helpful but aren't yet on the team, consider doing that today. Sending a gift is easy. Go to livingontheedge.org. or call us at 888-333-6003. That's 888-333-6003, or visit livingontheedge.org. App listeners, tap donate.
And let me thank you in advance for doing whatever the Lord leads you to do. Well, until next time, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.